G'day punters, welcome to The Money Man. My name is Julian Valance, joined as always by Benny Clifton from the Sportsbet Trading Floor. Cox Plate Day, how was it, Benny?
What a weekend it was. Plenty of sport, plenty of racing. It's just a shame we had to watch it all from home. And unfortunately, we didn't get the news we wanted on Sunday from Dan Andrews in regards to the restrictions. But hopefully there's a bit of light at the end of the tunnel.
He's just finding a way to continue to pause, isn't he? That pause has now been going for about 4 or 5 months. But anyway, we continue. I think zero today, so positives there. We'll look on the bright side here. Track conditions, really important here because soft seven, and I think it raced as a genuine soft seven. The rail was in the true position. 25 to up to sort of 50k southerly wind, which was a headwind into the straight. And I think that probably did have some impact on the times as well, especially those last 400, 200s, Benny. But look, I think there's been a little bit of narrative around the fact that a lot of the early doors, there was leaders that won the race. But I think we look at the times, thanks to Vince Arcati for sending through the times from Daily Sectionals. We've broken that down and probably tempo related, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Every meeting I look at, I'm looking for that bias. Where are they coming from? But you look at the times and the first four, they went out so slow and no wonder the leaders won. And obviously Jamie Carr went really hard in that one race. But after that, the rest of the race were run at a really good tempo and it gave the horses back in the field a chance to run on. I will say, I thought the track on Friday night raced unbelievably. I think both days it raced really well considering how much racing they had on it. They were dictated to by the weather and the track was in great condition, but it just, I think that second day, the Cox Plate day, is compromised by having that meeting on the Friday night.
No, it's a great shout. I totally agree with you. I think there's a punting tip just for the punters out there I just want to start with. Just when you're reviewing this meeting, just have a little bit of caution with it. There's been some horses have gone outstanding, gone just about through the roof. Just be careful. It was just a weird day just in terms of how the races were ran. I think jockeys were suggesting there were some parts that were a bit better of the track than the other part. So I can't stamp these horses as that's their rating. Like when I put the rating into the database, I'm pretty happy with it. A couple of these, I'm just a little bit unsure. So we'll work through those as we go through these 10 races, but just be a little bit careful as we go, as you're reviewing this meeting, punters. Let's start with race one. You said those first four races were run slowly. Well, this one was pretty well. So the interesting thing here is, though, they've still gone half a second inside standard time. Now, they did have first look of this track on Saturday, so they had, in essence, fresh ground. 23.52, 12.10, last 400, 200, best of the day by far. Ancestry, three in a row this prep. Really good horse. Probably don't know where the ceiling is for this horse, to be honest, Benny. He's a ripper.
Yeah, since they gelded him, he's won 7 from 9. He just keeps answering every challenge. He's a good Moonee Valley horse. He really handles that track. But we saw Written Beauty Friday night, Ancestry on Saturday. What are their levels? Because they are running some really good times and they look destined for the top for mine.
Yeah, I think Ancestry, I think Phil Stopes said, you have a crack at the Oakley Plate, and I think he's right there. And you talk about Written Beauty, well, they can go wherever they want with her. She is an absolute ripper. In terms of the market, Jungle Edge, $3.60 out to $6.50. Worries me about this horse because the track was soft and the market still took a big set against him. So I think there's concerns for Jungle Edge. Ancestry, this was one-way traffic, $1.35 into $1.26. You don't see that too often, a horse firming up at that $1.35 price. So market really wanted him. It was a small field and lacked depth, but he's going to continue to progress, this horse, as you say.
Yeah, you mentioned the wet track for Jungle Edge. It brings him into the race. It doesn't make him a certainty. And, you know, I think he's a really popular horse with us at Sportsbet. We hold a lot of money on him, and that's probably why the price was so short early on. Drifted out once the professionals got involved, and they were obviously into the short price for Ancestry.
Good shout. Race two was for the two-year-olds. A lot of these were first starters. They didn't go overly hard out early. It was just a moderate tempo. 25.18, 12.90, last 400, 200, which was okay. Well, this got the ball rolling for Jamie Carr. They've gone equal to standard time. I thought the race went okay. I think it's a race that I think there'll be plenty of winners that come out of it, especially with a couple of these first starters obviously getting onto a sticky track. They had to see if they could handle it, but I thought it was not a bad race you could follow.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a good lesson that the good camps are the ones to follow in these two-year-old races. Maran Eustace trained the first two home. They've had the horse up in Sydney, Enthar, who
yes.
Golden Slipper favourite. They've had Fake Love at Caulfield a couple of weeks ago. They've got a benchmark for their two-year-old, so they know where they sit amongst the rest of the two-year-olds in the state, and they're a great camp to follow in these early two-year-old races.
Just from a market perspective, Son of Mercury, $6.50 into $5.50, finishes fifth. Predetermined, good support for this horse, $8 into $6.50, finishes sixth. And Sneaky Fire just got a little bit soft on the day, $4.60 out to $5.50, but obviously the market's not that efficient with these two-year-olds, especially unraced.
You mentioned Son of Mercury, the market move. It didn't seem to handle the track for mine, and it's probably going to be a horse to follow on a firmer surface.
Very good. Race three, again, slow tempo here, Benny. 0.2 of a second outside standard time. 25.24, 13.26 home, which was only average. Portland Sky found the rail. Benny Malum controlled the race. Mildred sat outside, and then Bella Nipotina sort of tried, and Bella Quinta tried to push on there, but I don't know about the race going forward. Portland Sky wins the race, but it's not a race I want to be taking to bed.
Well, I backed Bella Nipotina, thinking it'll lead, and didn't get to the lead.
Yep.
Good tactics from Portland Sky to kick up and dictate the race, and Bella Nipotina was okay, but like I say it every week, as a punter, the Hayes Davian camp, they're unbackable. Like I hate being so harsh on them, but
well, you are very harsh.
They train
them
at a very ordinary strike. They're by the numbers camp, and they train a lot of horses at an ordinary strike rate. And for me, they're not a betting camp. I just don't find their horses find the line at all.
And yet, you continue to back.
My mistake. I can go in the trash for that.
From a market perspective, Mildred, $15 into $9.50. That was off its wet track figures. I think it had won a Caulfield Chairman's as a two-year-old on a wet track. Valaquenta, rock solid at $5.50. Bella Nepotino, it was sold at that $3.90. I think they agree. I think the speed map has probably had that ahead of Portland Sky, and they probably had Portland Sky behind it, possibly with gate one. A lot of the professionals may be thinking that wasn't going to be a negative after running there on Friday night. It wasn't, but it was $3.20 out to $4.50, just in terms of that's not how the result ended up, but that's how the market was playing. They were taking a set against those horses that were going to be probably on the inside, and it didn't work out their way, especially early.
Just in regard to the overall race, they've got a ceiling, these horses. I don't think they've got many more levels in them. No doubt they're talented fillies, but I do think they've found their level.
Yeah, I agree with that. Race four, outside 0.1 of a second outside standard time. Moderate tempo again here, Benny. 24.84, 12.74, last 400, last 200, which was very good, I thought. This winner, didn't think it had this kind of figure in it, but this has gone, I reckon, just about enormous. It was out in front, it got to control the race, all that kind of thing. Quick 7-day backup, Craig Williams controlled the race, but it's gone really good.
Yeah, the camp's starting to get a little bit of momentum as well. But is it a sign that it is a horse progressing, or is it a sign of the horses behind her aren't that much good?
Well, it's a good point you mentioned, because Thermosphere, $4 into $3.50. Market wanted to be with it. It's completely gone, so I'd suggest it goes to the paddock. It's been up in Sydney, came down here, won, I think, the Manifold, went to the 1,000 Guineas, was poor there. I think it probably has to go to the paddock. Ecumenical, $2.50 into $2.10. Market wanted it. It ran on well. But running on well, beaten four lengths, irrelevant, really. It's all about the winner for me. $9 out to $14. If it can hold that rating, it's got a really good race in it. So it'd be interesting to say. I think you're right. Says a little bit about a couple of these horses behind it. But I think this horse might be on the upward curve.
What about the market drift on it? Is that a concern going into the next race? You're going to look at it, you're going to say it started $14. Being asked to take probably a shorter price going forward in a harder race, was it just the right place at the right time on the backup leading on a soft tempo?
Yeah, it's a really good question to see what actually happens, because that is a good point, $9 out to $14. But dare I say it, was the market obviously was clearly wrong here in this instance. Race five, they went out very quick here. 0.4 of a second inside standard time, Benny, 26.46, 13.84. They completely walked home. As you can see, identified in the red, worst last section, last 400, last 200. But Jamie Carr did an exceptional thing here. First 800 metres was 2 seconds quicker than the Yes Baby Yes race. It was half a second quicker than the Holmesman race, that first 800. That's how quick she's gone. We know this horse loves being on the solid tempo. That's where it runs its best. She's now 3 from 3 for it. She took the guts out of a few of the other ones, especially Paradis, who might have been only third up, might just need the run, could bring it on. great ride.
Yeah, because I've talked previous weeks about jockeys going too slow on leaders. This was a classic example of really using your fitness. And it was over racing a little bit, but she just brought it back enough to finish off the race. And I mean, she's just gone to another level as a jockey, Jamie Carr. She's getting the opportunity she deserves now. She's taken them all. And what she had showed today on Saturday is the versatility. She can come from behind. She can ride them in the lead. She's absolutely top class.
Yeah, she absolutely is. Just in terms of the market, Sovereign Award, $3.30, got out to $4, crunched back into $2.90. I Am Elegant, 21 into 12, wet track form. Parity, $3.60, got a bit soft out to $3.90, was third up. Goes to the Matriarch. I think that'll be a pretty good race for Parity. We'll be back after the break to dissect the last five races, including the Cox Plate. Welcome back to the Money Men. We are dissecting Cox Plate Day, definitely on a soft seven track. Let's go to the Vars, race six, Benny. Only moderate tempo here, 0.2 of a second outside standard time. 26.08, 13.24, last 400, 200, which again was only fair. Cherry Tortoni had to come back from Sydney. Now, really important to note, there was a late scratching of Young Werter, who was holding his price around that $2.20 mark versus, say, Cherry Tortoni, that $4.60, $4.80 at the time of when he came out. Cherry Tortoni wins the race, was $3.10, then into $2.60, obviously with the scratching the market wanted to him. Quay Quay runs second, was $3.50 out to $4.80. The only other horse that was supported was Captain Corelli, who led $6 into $4.80, and he had that big figure winning his maiden when he was $1.35. So obviously the wet figures there, the market wanted him and Cherry Tortoni. What do you make of the race? Because we're going to the Derby next week.
Just to start on that Captain Corelli move, at this stage of the day, we're thinking it's the leader's day. But
yep.
As we've seen in the figures, it was probably tempo-related more than anything, and then Jamie Carr got away with it in the next race. But as far as the Derby goes, I don't think the Derby winner ran in this. I think he might have been scratched an hour before.
I think you might be right. Now, you've got other horses like Alborado, who we raced the week before, and we spoke about that race, and we were really worried about that race. I actually put it into the trash. So Young Werter, it's going to be his third race start, which is just outrageous, but as Bob Dylan said, the times are changing. You know, you've got horses like Tiger Moth, who's going to be trying to win a Melbourne Cup at his fifth. Cross Canter won a Melbourne Cup at his ninth start. The world's very different now in how we treat our stayers, and Danny O'Brien sort of at the forefront, especially in Australia. Discrepancy in the price there with Young Werter, who's $2.60. We'll just talk about this, I think, because it's very important. $2.20 when he came out. So the market didn't take a set against this horse before he came out. The professional's not saying, nah, he can't win on Saturday. And now all of a sudden you look at the Derby market and you've got Cherry Tortoni ahead of him. Yes, he won the race and Young Werter's got to win it at his third start. But in terms of a market perspective, I'd still be having Young Werter. And if he's at around that $5, $5.50 mark and Cherry Tortoni's $5, I know which one I want to be on, and it's the Young Werter.
And Danny O'Brien wasn't scratching it because he was worried about handling the wet track. He was scratching it because he didn't want a gut buster leading into the Derby. And you just got to trust Danny O'Brien. I think he did it with Russian Camelot early in his career, lightly raced him up to those Derby trips. You know, he went in the SA Derby, he went from 1,600 metres to 2,500 metres and got the job done in really impressive fashion. Young Werter does remind me a bit of Russian Camelot in that it is a progressive stayer, and you just have to trust these good camps like Danny O'Brien, and there's not many stables going better than his at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what the market does on Derby Day with Young Werter, but geez, I just think the market's going to flip, I think. That's my opinion.
We should talk about Cherry Tortoni. It was a good effort. I think
yep.
Billy Egan found the right part of the track, as was evidenced later in the day. He ran really well at Moonee Valley, three starts back behind Glenn Fiddick. Went to Sydney, was a little bit ordinary on the good track. I do think he does need to sting out Cherry Tortoni to show his best.
Can he stay 2,500? That's the other query.
There was nothing on Saturday that suggested he wouldn't.
Yep.
There's nothing in the Derby that is really jumping out as that just died in the wool stay, except for Young Werter for mine.
Yeah. I think Alborado will get 2,500, but I think he might get it a little bit slower than Young Werter. But that, again, my opinion. Well, race seven, let's crack on. Crystal Mile. Even tempo here, 0.2 of a second inside standard time. 25.64, 13.3 home. Not outstanding, but Homesman, we spoke about it on Insider Trading and even three wide. He was off 203 days, but you just don't worry about that with this camp. He's won a Fian off 303 days. He ran second in a Fian the year before off 180 days. He's just a very good fresh horse, and when he was left alone, it was probably how the result was going to be.
Yeah, maybe you could talk about him a bit more, but I was looking for that market push for Holmesman, but it never really came. The money came for other horses, but when you look back through its form, its Moonee Valley first up form was first class. But tell me what you saw from him, because I know you liked him going into the
race. I just thought it was if you don't. Usually you go 1,600 metres or 1,800 metres, you're worried about 200 days. But this camp, Lloyd Williams camp, has been doing it forever. He did it with Mahogany, you know, first up in a Cox Plate, got beaten a nose by a three-year-old Octagonal. I mean, that camp just do it so well. Now, you're right, you wanted a market push, and we spoke about that on Insider Trading. It was really interesting. $3 out to $3.90. Kingswell Dream was the horse that was supported, $3.90 into $3.10. An Age of Chivalry, who we also spoke on in Insider Trading, we thought was going to be a bit of a worry at weight for age level. Market didn't think so. $4.20 into $3.10. The only horse I want to take out of the race is Holmesman. He'll probably go to the McKinnon, and I think he's a live chance. He'll be on speed. We know he can be competitive in races like that.
Yeah, it could end up being a hot McKinnon, but yes. I think this was a nice race for him. I'm not sure if he's got that quite in him just yet. But
that's a fair call. Race 8 was the Moonee Valley Gold Cup. They've gone pretty good tempo here. 0.4 of a second inside standard time. 25.42, 12.82, last 400, 200. To be going out the clip they did and to come home the way they did, to my eye, and looking at the times and putting it into our stuff, Benny, I reckon this race has gone enormous. Miami Bound, the key factor, I think, as we spoke about maybe on Three Wide, was the soft track for her. She gets back to her performance like she did with the Wakeful and obviously winning in Oaks last year, this time of year. Oh, for me, she puts herself in the picture for the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, it is a pretty hot Melbourne Cup this year, though. I mean, it was a good win. I think Jamie Carr, we've talked about her for weeks and weeks, that I think on wet tracks in particular, her balance and her hands are even more valuable on the wet track than they are on the dry track. And this is where she showed her versatility in getting back in the field, bringing it into the race at the right time. And I don't think she's a Melbourne Cup winner, but yeah, it was a good effort on Saturday, and it was an expensive race for connections. They got a lot out of it, but I think the internationals would have her covered comfortably.
Yeah, I just think she definitely needs a soft track, but I think she puts herself into the picture a little bit. In terms of the market, Trap for Fools, 19 into 7. We knew this horse was going to go forward. Third up, he had a pretty good record. I think he ran third in an Australian Cup. He was down to 55 kilos, which he hadn't been for a long time. He finishes 10th. Sound, solid at $6, but that's just him. You know, he runs that really consistent race, but he can't just get the win lately. Ocean X was a lot better at $10. I think the wet track helped her. Shared Ambition, $3.90 out to $4.20, finishes second. He's running well, but he just can't win the race.
It seems he's level. I mean, will he go to the race on Derby Day, the 2,500-metre race?
Yeah, I suppose they'll have a crack at trying to get into the Hotham to try and get into the Melbourne Cup maybe through that way.
It'd be a chance.
And coming out of this race, this is a race I'm pretty confident that it's going to hold up. So, yeah, I think he needs a drier track too. If he gets a drier track, which he most likely get at Flemington, he'll be very, very competitive in that, that's for sure. All right, let's get to the Cox Plate. This was at a fast tempo. Survival of the fittest really in the end, Benny. 1 second inside standard time. 26.14, 13.28, last 400, last 200. They're all across the track there. Worth noting, the first 1,200 metres was 2 seconds quicker than race 6, which was obviously the Vase. And surprise, surprise, an international wins the race.
Well, I think a good way to go through this race is let's roll through them. Sir Dragonair, you know more about the internationals than me. He had a pretty good time form rating, had good wet track form as well.
The wet track was the key for this horse, and his time form was 121, which wasn't as good as an Armoury or an Aspetta, but his wet track numbers were the key and identified by the market, $12 into $7.50, especially in the last 2 minutes, but I'm going to mention that a little bit later.
Armoury?
Outstanding effort, 7 out to $9.50, back into $7.50 again. High time frame rating, 124. Drier track, he would have won by 5. That's how good he is on a dry track. I don't think he got through those kind of conditions and still ran a massive second.
He goes to the McKinnon now and he'll be awfully hard to beat.
He just wins it if it's a dry track.
All right, let's talk about Russian Camelot. Are you happy with the way they've been riding in this campaign?
I just don't think everything's gone to plan, but I've still said from day dot that the Melbourne Cup's the target. $4.20 into $3.50. Market wanted him with obviously being a soft seven track. That's where his best figures are. He's ran third in a Cox Plate. Any other year you run third in a Cox Plate, you'd be favourite for a Melbourne Cup, knowing that you can get to that distance, no worries, with 53.5 kilos. So he meets all these horses probably better at the weights. I'm still not wavering from that. I know the market's taken a set to him and now he's out to double figures, but I'm still thinking he's going to be riding this race on the first Tuesday in November.
Do you think they've been riding him too warm? That's what I'm trying to get at. If they ride him a bit colder, does he finish it off a little bit better?
Possibly. But I think they rode to win the race on Saturday, and I think Ollie did the right thing, and it didn't work out. He met two internationals that were right in their zone, and he got beaten by them. Pretty well gapped the rest. So, yeah, possibly they are. And maybe they can just, you know, but you have to make a decision when you draw 14. He goes back. I don't think he wins the race if he goes back to last or whatever. I know you could pick your way through like Sir Dragon A did, but I don't think that worked out. He needs a soft track on Melbourne Cup Day. If he does get it, he's riding the race.
And he was the last man standing of those horses up near the speed. Quickly, Mugger 2 was pretty decent.
Outstanding effort. Again, Wet Track helped it. Really good effort, I thought.
He looks a 2,000-metre horse. I think he'd probably go for a spell now. He's been up a little while. Next season or next year, he could be in these races up to his ears.
No, totally agree.
And the last one, Arcadia Queen, was it a pass, Mark?
Yeah, I thought it was. Probably didn't have all the greatest running transit. She might go to McKinnon as well, and she'll be competitive. She was just 6 out of 7. They'll probably take in a set against her in terms of the Wet Track. I just want to say about this punting tip in terms of the punters out there. The internationals are just better than us at those 2,000-metre races, and you just check those last 2 minutes of bidding. We've seen it so many times. We saw it with Magic Wand in the McKinnon. We saw it with Cross Canter. They absolutely swallow it up, these big guys that move the markets, especially on the exchange. We saw it again. Sir Dragon A and Armory was the other one that was absolutely smashed as well. Nothing much was said about that, but it did run second. They were both hammered. Last race, 3/4 of a second inside standard time. Fast run race here. 25.44, 13.06, last 400, last 200, which is only fair. But La Mexicana, 2.60 into $2.45. She's a really good horse, and Jamie Carr just doing things that Jamie Carr can do. She is just brilliant.
She was coaxing that over the line. Like it had probably had enough 100 out, but she just kept in rhythm with it, and she was fantastic. I thought the second horse was caught wide, but it was probably in the best part of the track by that time of the day, and probably had its chance. But it is a solid race that I think in the next couple of weeks, if you can find a similar class, they can win another race.
They're nice horses, absolutely. Twain's Express, 17 into 13 as well, along with La Mexicana, were well supported. So market got that one right. We'll be back after the break. Trash and Treasure. Back with Money Men, Trash and Treasure. What's going to the curb, Benny?
I just want to talk about the Moonee Valley scheduling. They have to run a meeting Friday night into their showpiece meeting on Saturday night. It makes it very hard for the track managers, and they were dictated by the weather on Saturday morning.
They'll be dictated every year.
I thought the tracks raced okay considering, but if your showpiece day is Cox Plate Day, you want everything to go right, and I find it bemusing that they run that Manicato Stakes Day on race on Friday night.
Totally agree with you, 100%. He does a great job, Marty, and he's just hamstrung by officials wanting to have their cake and eating it too. Anyway, good luck. Treasure.
Jamie Carr, isn't she great? I mean, she's getting the opportunity she deserves now. She was a little bit slow out of gates when she came to Melbourne, but she's a bona fide star, and she will be at the top of the game for a long time, I think.
Internationals, just we spoke about it since 2017. You backed every international trained horse. I know they didn't win here. Kieran took over this horse, but 54% profit on your turnover. You just got to be with them all the time. And the big guys that move these markets just absolutely smack them in those last couple of minutes. They hold their hand. They're very, very clever. They hold their hand, but they smack them.
Written Beauty won on Friday night. Very impressive. She's a Group 1 horse.
Groundswell has been gelded, come back better this prep. I reckon there's a good race in it. I'd written it off as a three-year-old. Gelding's done the trick for this horse. It is an absolute ripper now. Next week, Derby, Benny, it's going to be a ripper. Young Werther, haven't seen him for a while. He might be the winner. See you then.